together the song Praise to the Lord the Almighty. It's number 37 in the Blue Book, and we'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, and we'll do it one line at a time. Praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of creation.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation.
O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation.
All ye who hear, now to God's temple draw near.
All ye who hear, now to God's temple draw near.
Join me in glad adoration.
Join me in glad adoration.
Praise to the Lord. O let all that is in me adore him.
Praise to the Lord. O let all that is in me.
Hath life and breath, come now with praises before him.
All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before him.
Let the Amen sound from God's people again.
Let the Amen sound from God's people again.
Gladly forever adore him.
Gladly forever adore him.
Good morning, and a hearty welcome to all who have chosen to participate in our communal worship. The message today will be brought by our regional minister, Ryan Siemens. Although we have received guidelines whereby places of worship are allowed to begin the opening process, we have elected not to do so yet. And there was a statement made by Menno Media which speaks to our concerns. It says, "Remember that worshiping online is an act of love and care to keep one another and the most vulnerable in our communities safe. Celebrate that God is present and brings us together across distance. Focus on what you can do rather than what you can't do. Honor the feelings of sorrow that many are experiencing as a healthy part of adjusting to the realities of the time. Encourage singing at home within families and households." The statement observes that congregations are seeking to stay connected to God and one another by singing during online worship and by embracing other aspects of worship when gathering in person. We honor God when we worship in ways that protect the physical health and safety of ourselves and our community. We know God hears our praise, lament, and prayer when we sing from our homes or silently in our hearts. So as we set aside time to worship our Creator, we also seek out ways to demonstrate that creative spirit in each of us in living out the reality of our being amidst changing circumstances. But like water that finds a new path and persistently makes its way, or like small plants that insist on pushing up through the concrete slabs that are laid on top of them, so too, in consistent ways, let us exhibit God's Spirit. Steve McDowell has written about micro acts of neighborliness. which he says will subvert our tendency towards apathy. They have a cumulative influence and inspire others. We, as followers of Christ, are perfectly positioned to display these acts in our neighborhoods because we have so much practice within the church family. Here we can practice and sometimes fail, or sometimes modify and develop the acts which counteract the loneliness, isolation, and fragmentation of our society. Here in the church, we learn to overcome fear of rejection, self-consciousness, or whatever else keeps us from reaching out in love and kindness to others. We love because He first loved us. Please turn with me in your bulletin to the call to worship. I will read the one, and we all will read the many together. Sing aloud with gladness. God is gathering the people. From the farthest parts of the earth we come. All who struggle, all who labor with new life, those who are weeping, God will console. Those who get lost, find a clear path home. Let us worship the God who gathers us in. Let us pray. Ever calling God, we give thanks that you have gathered us into your church and graced us with your faithful presence. We ponder our history, ancient and still developing, and marvel at the many expressions of your church. Grant us the vision to be part of a new reformation for the church that will bring ever more joy and justice into the world. Continue to gather us, the diverse lot of us, into Jesus' vision and dream, that your faithful people may be one in you. Amen. We gather for worship not only to receive a blessing, but to also be a blessing. With joy, we bring our offerings to God to share with those in need and to bring in the kingdom of God. Offerings may be brought to the church throughout the week or also by e-transfer to zion.pay@sasktel.net. Let us pray. We have the means to give, we have the reason to give, and there are many waiting for us to give. Yet often our hands hold back and we keep what we have for ourselves. God of grace, help us live and give in your kingdom of love, where there are no enemies, only brothers and sisters, and kindness is the air we breathe. We give our offerings this morning, Lord, stepping out in faith down the road of grace. We do this together as your people, called and sent to be a blessing for all the world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Sing the journey number 22, by the rivers, by the waters of Babylon.
By the waters of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we went, when we remembered Zion. By the waters of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we went, when we remembered Zion. For the wicked carried us away, captivity required from us a song. How can we sing our holy song in our strange land? For the wicked carried us away, captivity required from us a song. How can we sing our holy song in a strange land? So let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. Waters of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we wept, when we remembered Zion. By the waters of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we wept, when we remembered Zion. For the wicked carried us away, captivity required from us a song. How can we sing our holy song in a strange land? For the wicked carried us away, captivity required from us a song.
sing our holy song in a strange land. So let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God.
Let's pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 7. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiachin and the queen mother, the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elza, son of Shaphan, and to Jemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper."
I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17, and reading on to chapter 6, verse 3. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. All these things are from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ Jesus did. God has given us the privilege of urging everyone to come into his favor and to be reconciled to him. For God was in Christ restoring the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is using us to speak to you. We beg you, as though Christ himself were here pleading with you. Receive the love he offers you. Be reconciled to God. For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then, in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. As God's partners, we beg you not to toss aside this marvelous message of God's great kindness. For God says, "Your cry came to me in a favorable time, when the doors of welcome were wide open, and I helped you on the day when salvation was being offered. Right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, he is ready to save you." We try to live in such a way that no one will ever be offended or kept back from finding the Lord by the way we act, so that no one will find fault with us and blame it on the Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's Word.
I'm reading from John 20, verses 19 to 23, and I'm reading from the New International Version. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you are forgiven anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Number 64 in Sing the Journey.
Somos el cuerpo de Cristo. We are the body of Christ. Hemos oído el amado. We've answered yes to the call of the Lord. Oh, somos el cuerpo de Cristo. We are the body of Christ. Traemos su santo mensaje. We've come to bring the good news to the world.
Dios viene al mundo a través de nosotros.
Somos el cuerpo de Cristo.
God is revealed when we love one another.
We are the body of Christ.
Al mundo a cumplir la misión de la iglesia.
Somos el cuerpo de Cristo.
Bringing the light of God's mercy to others.
We are the body of Christ. Somos el cuerpo de Cristo. We are the body of Christ. Hemos oído el amado. We've answered yes to the call of the Lord. Oh, somos el cuerpo de Cristo. We are the body of Christ. Traemos su santo mensaje. We've come to bring the good news to the world.
Cada persona es parte del reino.
Somos el cuerpo de Cristo.
Putting a stop to all discrimination.
We are the body of Christ.
Todas las razas que habitan la tierra.
Somos el cuerpo de Cristo.
All are invited to feast in the banquet.
We are the body of Christ. Somos el cuerpo de Cristo. We are the body of Christ. Hemos sido el amado. We've answered yes to the call of the Lord. Oh, somos el cuerpo de Cristo. We are the body of Christ. Traemos su santo mensaje. We've come to bring the good news to the world.
Que nuestras acciones reflejen justicia.
Somos el cuerpo de Cristo.
Stopping abuse and relieving the hungry.
We are the body of Christ.
Vamos al mundo a cuidar su rebaño.
Somos el cuerpo de Cristo.
Serving each other, we build up the kingdom.
We are the body of Christ. Somos el cuerpo de Cristo. We are the body of Christ. Hemos oído el amado. We've answered yes to the call of the Lord. Oh, somos el cuerpo de Cristo. We are the body of Christ. Traemos su santo mensaje. We've come to bring the good news to the world.
As Jesus said to his disciples, I now say to you, peace be with you, Zion Mennonite Church. I lament that we cannot be together in person, and I look forward to the day when we will be able to fellowship together, worship together, and be in each other's presence once again. In August of 1976, after attending the 100th commemoration of the signing of Treaty 6 at Fort Carlton, a group of descendants of the Young Chipewyan Band went around the Laird Tiefengrund area telling farmers, many of whom were Mennonite, that this would be their last harvest. They were going to get their land back. As you can imagine, many of the farmers did not respond kindly to such a threat. To borrow Paul's language earlier on in the text of 2 Corinthians, many people regarded these First Nations from a rather human point of view. Tensions rose, anger flared, fear took root, and many were concerned that a confrontation would erupt similarly to the like others that have taken place across Canada. But before the situation could escalate, a Mennonite farmer turned to his faith tradition and remembered Jesus' words, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God," and suggested that maybe, just maybe, there could be another way. Abe Funk took the risk to be a minister of reconciliation. In many ways, Abe was an unassuming ambassador of Jesus, drawing very little attention to himself, except for maybe his blue cowboy hat. But in this matter, he took significant leadership. With the assistance of Leonard Dole at MCC, folks from the Mennonite Historical Society, and willing partners from the Office of the Treaty Commissioner, and many others, Abe sought to walk the path of truth and reconciliation. He wanted to learn what was behind the Young Chipewyan claim, and through humility and prayer, sought to listen so that maybe a better way could be found. In the following years, Abe, along with many others, learned that Chief Chipewyan had the third largest group at the signing of Treaty 6 in 1876 at Fort Carlton, and that they were designated Reserve 107, a few miles west of Rostern. After the events of 1885, many of these local bands were starving, and so the Chipewyan Band followed the hunt south to the Cypress Hills area. In the years while they were south, without following any of their own due processes, the federal government dissolved both the band and the reserve and gave the land over to Mennonite and Lutheran farmers for settlement. To make a long story short, in 2006, the descendants of the Young Chipewyan asked the Mennonite and Lutheran communities to gather for a feast at Stony Knoll, for an opportunity to get to know one another and hopefully set a path for better relations. This was a radical idea, a risky one, and many were hesitant. What will happen here? Again, fear lurked in the background. But as the day took shape, and people began to eat, tell stories, fellowship with one another, the tension waned, and slowly a way forward was presented. A way forward based on mutual respect and a desire to build right relationships. For the last couple of years, Sandra and I have taken our boys on the Walk for Reconciliation in downtown Saskatoon. And in one of those earlier walks, Isaiah asked, "What is reconciliation?" Aren't children lovely? You got these fancy words, adults, now tell us, what the heck do they mean? And so I asked Isaiah, when we are mad at each other because one of us has hurt the other or done something wrong to the other, do we have a right relationship or a bad relationship? He responded, a bad one. I continued, but then when we make up, when we say sorry and ask, what can we do to make things better? Do we have a bad relationship or a right relationship? And he responded, a right relationship. And that is reconciliation, building right relationships. In his book, Anabaptist Essentials, longtime preacher and missionary Palmer Becker says that the core of Anabaptist Christianity can be summed up in three phrases. Jesus is the center of our faith, community is the center of our lives, reconciliation is the center of our work. It's this last one that I'd like to focus on this morning. According to Becker, Anabaptists understand salvation to be three-dimensional. It's about having a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, a right relationship with each other through his body called the church, and it's about seeking right relationship in our world and communities, working for peace where there is no peace. And if we look closely, all three of these dimensions of reconciliation can be found in this short passage from 2 Corinthians. While Becker claims reconciliation is the center of our work, to be honest, according to Paul, this is the center of the work of God in Jesus Christ. As Paul notes earlier in the letter, as well as in many other places in his writings, the relationship between God and humanity is estranged. Sin and separation has marred the relationship. And this separateness between God and God's creation pains God, because God loves his creation and desires to be in right relationship. And so God enters the world in Christ, the Word becomes flesh, and through his selfless act, he forgives our trespasses and reconciles us back to God. Now, another word for trespass, of course, is sin. But a more literal translation that is used throughout the Gospels is debt. The line in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," is more accurately translated as debt. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those indebted to us. Interestingly, both debt and reconciliation are banking terms. For the younger crowd, if you've never reconciled your checking account, you might want to do so, or because you don't know what checks are, talk to your treasurer. Your treasurer knows exactly what it means to reconcile an account. And to reconcile an account is to make it balance. In Paul's understanding, God in Christ forgives our debts and reconciles our accounts. By this act of immeasurable grace, our ledger is wiped clean and we are reconciled to God. As Paul writes in verses 14 and 15 of chapter 5, "For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore all have died, and he died for them all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them." Note, Christ died for all, and in his death he reconciled all things to God. And those who accept and believe this must then learn to live this reconciled life with each other through the faith community we call the church. And it's in this second dimension of reconciliation that things can sure get a bit sticky. Just as we talked about how God is estranged with God's creation, we are estranged with each other. We are separated from one another. And it pains God to see that separateness. And so God desires to bring us back into reconciliation with one another. Now, one of my favorite headlines is this: Church of 250 members splits into 250 churches. Now, I should say this headline comes from the Daily Bonnet, a satirical website that pokes fun of all things Mennonite, including our propensity to split apart. Now, I grew up Mennonite. I love our church. I wouldn't serve it if I didn't. But I find it ironic that Mennonites, known the world over for peace-building and restorative justice initiatives, struggles so much to live together. Growing up at First Mennonite Church in Winnipeg, I was also always fascinated by the huge yellow timeline that spanned Mennonite history from the 1520s to the 1970s, and where the Anabaptist movement started with three distinct groups. By the 1970s, it splits 20 to 30 times. According to James Reimer, there are over 30 different sects or groups of Mennonites within Canada alone. The shadow side of our tradition is that in our desire to be the faithful church, we constantly break off from one another, as a result, losing sight of God's desire to bring us back together. In the birthing of these church communities throughout the Roman Empire, Paul is trying to help these communities see that they are a new creation. And so throughout his letters, we find him saying things like, "In Christ, there is neither male nor female, Jew or Gentile, free nor slave, for we are all one in Christ." As he writes to the Corinthians, he calls the church community a new creation, reconciled to God and one another. Because of Christ, we can no longer be separated. As a result, we have been given a ministry of reconciliation, and thus must continue to reconcile with one another. This is our ongoing work. Over the last year at Mennonite Church Saskatchewan, we called this the theme this year, deepening our walk with each other. To borrow from Ephesians 4, Paul begs us to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How we live together bears witness to the reconciling work of Jesus Christ. This does not mean we're not going to have conflicts or disagreements at times, but what it does mean is that when we do have conflict or disagreements, we will remember that the people we disagree with are loved and valued by Christ just as we are. And by that remembering that, we will enter into conflict not from a place of wanting to destroy or hurt, or even to show our own rightness, but to build one another up and to make right. This is where we practice our peace theology in day-to-day living. Last year, I attended a workshop with Tom Yoder Neufeld, who focused on Ephesians, and he noted that our peace theology is rooted in the fact that we are committed to one another in good times and in bad. And when we learn to live with each other and practice peace and reconciliation with each other, we begin to bear witness to Christ's peace in the world. Which is important because the work of reconciliation does not end at the walls or borders of the church. The Missio Dei, or the mission of God, is to reconcile all things unto Him. Therefore, the third dimension of our salvation is to work for reconciliation in the world, to deepen our walk with our neighbors and communities. David Fitch, in his book Faithful Presence, Seven Disciplines That Shape the Church for Mission, writes, "Reconciliation is at the core of what God has done and is doing in the world in and through Jesus Christ. In fact, if we don't see reconciliation in our churches, it would suggest there is no gospel in them either. Reconciliation marks our presence in the world." Jesus did not create his church so that we would huddle in like-minded communities away from the troubles of the world, but rather he created the church to enter in to the messiness of the world in the same way that Jesus did. As Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, now I send you." And right now we're being called to enter into the fray of racial injustice and to walk alongside those who have suffered at the hands of brutality and violence. Martin Luther King Jr., in his letter from a Birmingham City jail, wrote, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly." Paul also wrote a lot of letters from prison, and he used a bit of a different analogy. Instead of a garment, he used the image of a body and how we are all intricately woven together and connected, and that when one member of that body suffers, all suffer together with it. And right now, our Black sisters and brothers in Canada, the United States, and around the world are suffering. Mennonite Church Canada this past week responded to the call from Glenn Guyton, Executive Director of Mennonite Church USA, to take time this Sunday to pray and lament over the violence, pain, and injustice plaguing our communities. He writes, "I ask that you pray for compassionate and wise leadership for our country during this time. The violence and unrest that is happening now is not an accident. It is what the system is designed to do, and it jeopardizes all of us, not just people of color. Stand with the marginalized in your communities. If you have the power of privilege, use it as a shield to protect people of color who don't have it. Use your voice and your power to prompt action from local government officials. Create spaces for reconciliation, healing, and hope. As a people of God's peace, we must join in this prayer. We must pray for God's peace and justice in our communities, for an end to discrimination and violence, the championing of human rights, just political leadership, the humility to confess our individual and social sins, and a willingness to repent and to boldly embrace the peace of Jesus Christ. We must pray that the Holy Spirit might heal and renew our personal lives, the church, and the social fabric of our countries. So now I invite you to pray with me a prayer of lament. Let us pray. You are the God who hears. Hear our prayer today for all who lament or repent. For those among us who face discrimination every day because of their skin color, we lament. For those among us with white skin who benefit from racist systems, sometimes even without realizing it, we repent. For those among us who have struggled and waited so long for the promised land of freedom and equality, we lament. For those of us who have acted in racist ways and have hurt people of color, we repent. For those protesting injustice, who face police brutality and a justice system rigged against them, we lament. For those who think racism is someone else's problem and not a problem for humanity, we repent. God of hope, show us how to work for justice together, standing up for what is right, stepping in when something's wrong, shouldering each other's burdens, holding each other accountable, righting the wrongs we've done, speaking truth to power. We pray for change, lasting change, for protection for protesters, for a de-escalation of violence, and for government leaders who listen. Deliver us from evil within and without. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Forth in thy name, O Lord, I go, my daily labor to pursue. Thee, only thee, resolve to know in all I think, or speak, or do. That task thy wisdom hath assigned, O let me cheerfully find and prove thy good and perfect will.
On behalf of Zion and all of our friends who have been listening to this recording, we'd like to express thanks and appreciation to Ryan for bringing us the message today. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. For the benediction. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our toil is not in vain in the Lord. Amen.
Sing the journey, number 77. The peace of the earth be with you. Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P. All rights are reserved.